Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
We're going to be in John chapter 5. We've been preaching through the Gospel of John for the last several weeks. And as we go through John, we find a lot of Jesus' actual words written for us. And we're going to look at John chapter 5, verses 24 through 29 tonight, to recognize what Jesus has to say about himself. And it's incredibly powerful. Jesus asserts himself. He tells us exactly who he is, what authority he has, what his influence is for our lives, and what he is able to do, he has the authority to do. So we're going to look at this tonight, John chapter 5, verses 24 through 29. Verse 24, I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. I assure you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he has granted to the Son to have life in himself. And he has granted him the right to pass judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. And those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but to those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So as we look at this passage, Jesus has been speaking from John chapter 5. Pretty much all the verses in John chapter 5 are actually the verses that tell us what Jesus actually said. And I want to emphasize something. It's not that Scripture isn't all true. Scripture is all true. Is absolutely true. But when we hear the words that Jesus himself says about himself, that's absolute truth. That is rock solid truth. And we have to recognize that Jesus speaks for himself, and when he speaks about his own authority, his own place, his own ability to cast judgment and to give life, it's incredibly important for us to recognize this is not a maybe I can, maybe I can't, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, or it's a choice that I can make or not make because there are so many different ways to go to heaven, which is not true. There is only one way to go to heaven, and Jesus said that of himself, and he says it again later on in the book. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So as we look at this evening, so he says in verse 24, I assure you, he's telling us to believe in him, to have faith in him. And in this version, the Holman, I assure you, but in the King James, he says, verily, verily. And then in the New American Standard Bible, he says, truly, truly. So he is saying to us, what I'm telling you is absolutely true. Anyone who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He emphasizes this because it is incredibly important for us to recognize that eternal life means that we will live in a relationship with him forever. It's life after we leave this planet. I was reading earlier this week, and the writer said, this life that we have, whether it's 75 years or longer, is boot camp for eternity. We're in training. We're in process. We learn or we don't learn, but this is boot camp for eternity. And we have to consider that this is exactly what Jesus tells us it is. If we believe in him, we will have life in him. But if we don't believe in him, then we will not have life in him. It's just that simple. He tells us his word is true. And when we look at the scripture and we look at what Jesus had to say, anyone who believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but is passed from death to life. Now, Romans tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sins before we put our faith in Christ. Dead in our trespasses and sins. And we've talked about this before, but I think it's a good reminder. When Eve was deceived and Adam sinned, God said, "You will surely die." Adam lived 930 years, but that day that he sinned against God, he spiritually died. He spiritually died in his relationship with God. And man has lived in that same broken place, that same broken relationship through his entire life. When we were not in Christ, when we had not come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, we were dead, spiritually not in relationship with God. So really, the death that God pronounced upon Adam was going to be physical death. But really, the word means separation. Separation from God. Separation from a relationship with God. When Jesus died and paid the penalty for our sin, gave us the opportunity to believe in him, he made us alive unto himself. And we'll see that as we move forward. One of the most promising things that Jesus had to say here was that you have eternal life and will not come under judgment. So when a person has a relationship with Jesus, judgment is already paid in full because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And that's hard for us to realize because Scripture talks about four different judgments, and people get confused about judgments because they think that, well, even if they're a believer in Christ, they're still going to stand at the great white throne judgment before God, which is not really true. There is a judgment for believers in the New Testament, and it is called the Bema Seat or the judgment seat of Christ. But that judgment is not about your good or bad deeds. It's not about deciding whether or not you get to go to heaven. It's about whether or not you've served and what you've done in your life to bring glory to God and to serve him. So the judgment seat of Christ is really a judgment of reward, not a judgment of condemnation. So when you read this in John 5:24, he will not come under judgment. And I've read this passage before, but I'm going to just quickly touch on it again in Colossians chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14, and when you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. All our sins are forgiven. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed us and taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Now that certificate of debt is the fact that we were a sinner, unsaved, living in the uncircumcision of our flesh. But Jesus took that certificate of debt and literally nailed it to the cross so that our sin debt is paid for on the cross of Christ. And I've had been asked this question before, and I think it's a valid question, but it needs to be clarified. When I came to know Christ in 1973, was all my sin forgiven from that date back? Absolutely. What about my sin from then until now? Was it paid for in full? Absolutely. What about from now until the day that I pass away? Was it paid for in full? Absolutely. So the sin debt is not just for the sin that you committed in your past, it's actually for all your sin completely. It's a one and done deal. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin completely, and he desires for us to live in that relationship with him where our sin is completely paid for because we believe in Jesus. And so he says here, Jesus' own words, he will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. We call that newness of life. When we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the light bulb comes on. We're spiritually alive in the Spirit of God. We're quickened by the Spirit to understand the Word of God, to understand God speaking to us and guiding and directing our lives. And he's showing us how to live this life out. But before I was a Christian, I was not concerned at all about what my future might look like. I wasn't concerned at all about the things that I was doing that were wrong. It was, yeah, I might have felt a little twinge of guilt here and there, but I wasn't planning on changing anything. All of a sudden, when I came to Christ, it changed my entire perspective. It changed my life completely. It directed my life in a new way. It gave me a purpose and a hope. And that's because the Spirit of God came into my life and quickened my spirit and made me alive to God. Before that, I was dead. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and now I'm alive to him. And that completely changes everything. Somebody said, if there is no change, there is no Jesus. And we can know that Jesus came into our life because our life is different than it was before. Our life is not perfect necessarily, but it is different. It certainly has changed our perspective. So we have passed from death unto life, and that's an amazing reality. Verse 25, I assure you, an hour is coming, and it's now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. What Jesus is saying right there is that right now, he said an hour is coming, which is true, and it's still coming, but at the same time, it's now here, when the dead will hear his voice. For the dead will hear his voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. That's what happens to us when we come to faith in Christ. We become alive unto him. We become willing and eager to hear what he has to say. And he speaks to us through his word. His word is alive and quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It actually changes our perspective. But it also convicts us and shows us where we need to change. Not that we're not saved and not that we're not eternally in a relationship with him, but that he wants to see us conform to the image of his son. So he's constantly working on us to bring about this new life that he's actually given to us. Verse 26, so just as the Father has life in himself, so also he has granted to the Son to have life in himself. There's a correlation here that he is emphasizing. And remember that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees have challenged him about the fact that he was healing on the Sabbath day. So he's telling the Pharisees in this context, just as the Father has life in himself, because they believed in God. They believed that God was alive. They believed that God had control of the universe. They believed in his supremacy. They believed in his omniscience. And Jesus claimed in this passage, in this verse, just as the Father has life in himself, so the Son has life in himself. He claimed to be the Son of God, which is why in previous verses, they decided all the more that they were going to kill him. They tried to conspire to kill Jesus because he claimed to be God. Even though he was performing miracles, he was performing signs and wonders that they could not explain, but they would not recognize that he was, in fact, the Son of Man or the Son of God. Those terms are used interchangeably in the Gospels. So the Son has life in himself, and the Father has granted him, in verse 27, the right to pass judgment because he is the Son of Man. Now we think oftentimes, well, God passes judgment, and we leave that designation of God to be God the Father. But Jesus claims in this passage of Scripture that he's the one who passes judgment. He's the one who has the authority to pass judgment. He's the one that has the ability to pass judgment. And that he says that the Father has granted him the right to pass judgment because he is the Son of Man. Because he is the Son of Man. So it's the term Son of Man shows up in the New Testament in the Gospels very often. It says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 19, that he has the authority to forgive sin. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath in Matthew 12, 8. He has the authority, he has the right to sow the good seed. He will be seated at the right hand of the Father. So we see in this passage that Jesus has authority. He has the right to pass judgment. And Romans 14, 11 says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God. He says the same thing in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. Every knee will bow. I've heard people say, I will never bow before Jesus. It's absolutely not true. Every knee will bow before Christ. And that's why Jesus has given us the opportunity to come to him voluntarily, to come to him submitting our own will to him. Because when the end comes, he will actually cause everyone to bow their knee to him. Whether they're on their way to hell or whether they're on their way to a relationship with him in eternity. I would much rather it be on this side, that I can bow my knee to Christ and give Christ the glory and give him the opportunity to work in my life and to bring about change in my life, because he wants to bless us. He wants to show us grace. He wants to show us mercy. He wants to give us help. He wants to provide for us and give us the things that we need to survive, and at the same time, to use us to bring other people into a relationship with Christ. We don't save anybody, but we're a vehicle, we're a tool in God's hand to use us to touch lives for his glory. It's such a great thing that Jesus is talking about here. It covers in these few verses the whole gamut of the gospel, that he has the right to give us life. He has the right to give us eternal life. He has the right to quicken us and make us alive unto himself. And at the same time, that he's also the one who passes judgment. So it covers all these different aspects of the gospel. Do not be amazed at this, because the time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, and those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of judgment. He's declaring what he already said, that he's the one who gives life and he's the one who passes judgment. But Paul's told us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But what happens in these last verses is that he's talking about all of the different judgments that will happen. The judgment of sin, which was at the cross, the judgment of the Bema, which is the rewards that he gives us because we're believers in Christ, and the judgment of eternity, because he will bring everybody out of the grave and everyone will stand before him. The resurrection of life, and for those who have done wicked things, the resurrection of judgment. And Jesus is just simply giving the gamut of his relationship with man as he came to earth from the cross until the end. But he's saying this to the Pharisees, and he's declaring to the Pharisees, this is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. This is why I'm here. And he declares himself to be God in the flesh. He declares himself to be the one who is going to give eternal life. And the Pharisees, of course, wanted to kill him. But Jesus is telling us in the gospel, in John right now, that what I'm telling you is absolutely true. What I'm telling you is absolutely true, and this is what's going to happen. this will be what exactly what happens. And then he goes on in verse 30. I can do nothing on my own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus clarifies, when Christ came, he humbled himself. If Christ came in all of his glory, and we saw him for who he is as the Son of God in all eternity, it would be like the Mount of Transfiguration when he showed himself to be clothed in white and bright as the sun. He didn't come that way. He came to earth as a man, came to earth as a child, as a baby, and he grew up as a man because he humbled himself before God and allowed God to speak to him and through him so that he had his relationship with the Father, but he acted on the Father's will, not on his own will. And he clarifies that for us again right here. I can do nothing on my own. I can do nothing on my own. If we were going to mimic what Jesus did, if we were going to mimic the life of Christ, if we were going to be a person who was able to do only what the Lord wanted to do through our life, that would be what we would have to say. I do nothing on my own. And my judgment, he says, is righteous. My judgment is righteous. What I do is righteous because it's what God, the Father, has told me to do. I'm doing what God wants me to do. It would be so incredibly amazing and powerful if we were able to be that person who did just what God wanted us to do, who acted just the way God wanted us to act, who gave ourselves to him completely, so that all of our decision-making, Jesus says my judgments, but all of my decision-making, everything that I did was righteous before God because he directed my path. He directed my path. I wasn't directing my own path. I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. I know we all have a problem with that because it's human nature. But he really wants to bring us to the place where we are submissive to him to the point that we are doing what he wants us to do. We are being the person he wants us to be. We are making our decisions based on what he wants us to make. And at the same time, he says, my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will. I do not seek my own will. How many of us can say, I do not seek my own will? I don't seek to do only what I want to do. And yet the Lord tells us in other places in Scripture that we are to submit our will to his will, to allow him to work in and through us in such a way that only he can work. It comes out in many different passages of Scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. If we were that person who sought to do what God wants us to do continually, that would be an amazing thing. Jesus gave us that example. He shows us that that's his desired will for us. I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. As a believer in Christ, as someone who has given their life to Christ, he wants us to be that person. He wants us to be that person who does only what he desires us to do. And at the same time, that he can send us out to reach the lives of other people for his glory. That's what he wants to do. Why didn't God just snatch us out of here, snatch us away from this earth the minute we came to know Christ? Because he wants to change us. He wants to work in us. He wants to conform us to the image of his Son. He wants to change our thinking, just like Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, that we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's incredibly important for us to recognize that what Jesus is saying in these few short verses is really the direction that we need to look at for our life. It's what he wants to do with us. It's what how he wants to work in us, what he wants to change in us, how he wants to conform us to his image. None of this is for his benefit only. It's really for our benefit. He's changing our life for our benefit. He's blessing our life for our benefit. He's making us to be the person he desires for us to be for our benefit. When we find ourselves not making bad decisions, that's for his benefit. That's for our benefit, not just for his benefit. He wants to see us make good choices for ourselves. God is great, and he really loves us with a love that we can't even fully comprehend. But the intention is that he conform us to the image of his Son. And that's the process of this life that we live. It's an ongoing process, day by day by day by day. He's changing us into the person he wants us to be. And we will be that person forever. We sing a song, Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We get 75 years, if we're fortunate, and we think that that's a long life. It's just the start. So what are we going to do with our life? It's our choice to do what he wants us to do and to serve him the way that he wants us to serve him.
As we reflect on this passage in John 5, Jesus reminds us that life and judgment are in his hands alone. He is not only the one who calls the spiritually dead to life, but also the one before whom every soul will one day stand. For the believer, this truth fills the heart with peace and gratitude, knowing that our life is hidden with Christ in God. For the unbeliever, it is a call to repentance before that final day arrives. The same voice that once said, "Lazarus, come forth," will one day summon all humanity to stand before him. Let us live in light of that reality, walking in faith, obedience, and thankfulness to the one who gives eternal life. Jesus Christ is both Savior and Judge, full of grace and truth. May his voice find us ready, faithful, and rejoicing in his redeeming power. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure that more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.